On this episode of Heads in the Cloud, John and I are joined by Matt Bauer and John Jordan of Better World. We're going to talk about their business, sort of their mission, where they've come from, and what they're up to today. And then we're going to get into some other random discussions.
Pretty random.
Time travel being one of them.
Heads in the Cloud with your host, David Portnowitz, Graham Potter, and John Roth.
Welcome to Heads in the Cloud. I'm David Portnowitz.
I'm John Roth.
And today we're going to be joined by Matt Bauer and John Jordan, who are the general manager and co-founder and director of Better World.
Better World Telecom.
And one of our Star-to-Star partners.
Absolutely.
We're going to talk to them about...
A couple years now. They've been a partner with us.
Out of the Midwest? I think they're all over the place.
But I think their core is in the Midwest. Yeah.
And
Chicago.
Chicago. And interesting about them is that they have this mission. They're a little bit different, right? They have this cool mission that I want to learn. Like, where did it come from? Because they're really focused on nonprofits. They're focused on doing socially good things. They're focused on leaving, you know, sort of making a difference in the world, hence their name. I'm interested to ask Matt and John sort of where that impetus came from.
Yeah. And they've been doing it a very long time. So they did it before it was...
Before it was cool. Yeah. Before everyone expected you to do it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm keen to learn about that and talk to those guys about how that sort of came about. What's happening in your world, John?
It's almost Christmas.
Well, this episode probably comes out. It's already past Christmas.
Okay. Well, it was a great Christmas.
We're in 2020
so
now.
So I would say it's a great Christmas.
How was your New Year's?
It was wonderful.
What did you do?
We didn't do much of anything.
Well,
we don't want to go. We don't go out on New Year's Eve.
Did you order food in?
Yes, we ordered food in. Chinese.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that a tradition you have?
Yes, it is. Oh. We ordered pizza, too.
Oh, pizza and Chinese. Did you order Chinese pizza?
I didn't order any of that. This is before that whole New Year's thing. But
is that a tradition? You order Chinese food on New Year's?
No, we don't. We don't.
Do you have any New Year's traditions?
Yeah, we actually have, it's Black Eyed Peas.
The band?
No. Fergie? The food, Black Eyed Peas.
Will I Am?
No, Black Eyed Peas, the food. It's a Southern tradition.
I don't know anything about that. I mean, I know I've heard about the tradition. I don't know about the thing.
Well, you know, if you don't want to know what I had, then don't ask.
So what's the deal with the peas?
It's supposed to give you good luck.
And they're not the green peas that you buy?
They're the black-eyed peas. You can have them fresh. You can have them.
Where do you get them?
You can get them at a store. Any kind of store, grocery store, you can have.
Publix.
Publix has
them. Do they have
them.
A special black eyed pea section for New Year's?
They have just like a regular pea section.
Like during Passover, they have a special section
Not a special section. No. It's there on the shelves. It's there all year long, actually. Okay. Right. Black eyed peas. You get a little ham in it and a little cornbread.
Ham hock?
And you put a little rice with it.
Have you had this before?
It's called Hoppin' John.
Hoppin' John. I know Hoppin' John. Yeah,
you don't know that.
Yes, I do. Swear to God, I know Hoppin' John.
What does that mean?
It's from Kentucky. It's a Southern thing. It's a very popular thing in Kentucky, in the bluegrass state. Hoppin' John.
Well, it's all over. Southern is, Kentucky South all the way to
Florida. But I'm just saying it's popular, and that's where I've heard it.
I've had black-eyed peas since I was a kid.
New Year's?
On New Year's Day, yeah, absolutely.
Does anybody else have black-eyed peas here?
Les is shaking his head. Did he have to? Les?
Yes, John.
Have you had black-eyed peas on New Year's
Day? Of
course.
You have to put a dime in the pot when you're cooking them.
See?
That doesn't sound healthy.
It's not, but it's tradition.
What does the dime do?
Beats
it. Supposed to give you more good luck or something?
It gives you more good luck.
You know, you probably should go with a quarter. A bit more valuable.
Okay. We should. Maybe we'll do that. Well, they'll give us more luck.
Put a dollar in there. See what happens to it.
A dollar. Yeah.
I think it'll just burn up.
It's like, is this sage? It's like a bay leaf in here. What is
sage?
It's bay leaf.
Somebody get the bay leaf out of here. No, that's a dollar bill.
A dollar bill. What the? And the luckiest person at dinner if you actually bit into the dollar bill. That'd be cool.
This is something that we should be marketing. Okay.
So this is really going to, after, so we're talking about New Year's. This is... Okay.
Yes, this episode is going to appear after New Year's.
It doesn't seem like, because we're recording it right now. This is before New Year's.
Right, but the way time works is that we have other episodes that we've recorded.
That's how time works.
And then we put those out, and then this one will come out sometime in the future. Unbeknownst to you and I, Frederick probably has a schedule. He shakes his head yes. He probably could tell you the exact day it'll come out. May you and 2nd. I, May 2nd.
May 2nd.
Well, what? Hi. We just had like May Day.
May Day.
Well, this hot. Is kind of like it's time. It's
kind of like time travel then.
Yeah.
Have you heard
How
about
was your spring?
My spring was good. Oh, the tulips. Oh, they're beautiful in the
spring
garden.
Spring has sprung.
Spring has. Oh, the tulips.
We're in hurricane season again.
Pollen's everywhere.
Oh,
all right. Let's go.
Wow.
Let's. This is really just taking a turn for the worst. Let's give Matt and John a call. What do you think?
All right. Ring it up. Ring.
All right. John and I are now joined by Matt Bauer and John Jordan, the co-founder and director and general manager of Better World. Thank you guys both for joining us today.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And as I understand it, Matt, you founded the company back, what, was it 15 years ago or so? Can you tell us a little bit about the history of the company, where it came from, what was sort of the impetus of Better World?
Oh, gosh. all right, I'm going to have to really engage my brain here. So it was 2002, and the actual original idea, I guess it's pretty fun to talk about this again, was the co-founder. The original idea was James Kenefick, who I had worked with at one of his startups before Better World. And, you know, he was sort of in between starting up companies, and he was at the table with his mom and sort of the Vermont kitchen type of scene. And, you know, she looked up, I mean, he built some really big companies and successful and had a, you know, one maybe not go as the same way. And, you know, she looked up at him and said, you know, Jim, why don't you do something good for people? You know, do something good with your next company. And so he kind of Googled it, which Google had just started. And, you know, social responsibility and telecom and all this, and didn't find a whole lot. But there were some companies that were doing it. They were successful. And so the idea of Better World was hatched. And so from the beginning, the idea, you know, Jim and I have both been in telecom carrier business, you know, from the beginning, almost back in the 80s when we started working. And so the idea was, let's build a, you know, telecom carrier that's, you know, focused on providing great service, but also gives back. So our original pledge was to donate 3% of top line to children, education, the environment, and, which is a pretty big commitment. It was a hard thing to keep up. And we did for many years, you know, most companies donate a percentage of profits. So this forced us to, in good times and bad, you know, really stick to our guns, and it put us in a unique spot, sort of a mainstream telecom carrier that's all about, doing the right, you know, doing good, doing well. And, very quickly we adopted into a B2B model, had some B2C in the beginning, and that market was kind of dying from the carrier perspective. And, so we went full bore into B2B. And then, so we were at a really auspicious time where a lot of companies were starting to do this, but in other industries. So we went out and we said, hey, what are other people doing? So we got involved in helping start. We were one of the 10 companies that started the movement, B corporations or benefit corporations, which now has grown to thousands of companies.
Wow.
So that was, we were literally in the room when the idea of that was hatched, it was a back room in Philly, a dark, cold, wintry night.
Dark,
and,
back room in Philly. Wow.
Okay. Yeah. So, okay. So instead of, you know, taking a contract out of somebody, we were actually saying, how do we change the world?
Wow.
And bond together is, it was a wonderful moment of a group of folks coming together and companies that were doing well. So, you know, we stood there on stage in 2007 with the likes of Seventh Generation and Method, and you know, what soon grew into companies like Patagonia and others that have joined this and say, hey, we're not just about profits, we're about helping people in the environment.
That's
as
awesome.
Well. but we're but it's mainstream. You know, this isn't tree hugging, mammy pammy stuff. This is like, you know, real businesses doing real things, but also keeping an eye and ear on their communities and on what's going on in the world. So that was cool, and we're still certified B Corp to this day. And that's something you have to, you know, prove out every couple of years. And so that's cool. And then I'll take it up sort of, through the 2000s.
Well, let me just ask. So obviously the better world, that's where that comes from. Having a better world, that's where the name comes from. Okay. Okay.
It does. Yeah. It's very, very literal.
Okay. Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, it really is. When you look back at, you know, some companies back in those days, it was, probably a very, not something that people would look at. And I think that's just, and you came from DC as well. So you're tied into somewhat, not necessarily in the political side, but you certainly had, you know, I see here you actually were on the U.S. House and Telecom and Finance Subcommittee, correct?
Yep. Okay. Yep. Well, I wasn't on the subcommittee, but I worked for the subcommittee.
Okay.
For Ed Markey, so now Senator Ed Markey.
And you made this deal, this kind of this promise in a cold back room in Philadelphia.
Well, it was a restaurant where we met. It was a very cold night, and I remember it was pretty dim lighting. So I'll just say that was the environment that we got together. And it was, you know, the founders of B Corporation, B Corp, which is, you know, Jay Gilbert and Bart Houlihan, and they started a company called And1, which, you know, was one of the main sneaker companies for basketball and other sports back then. And so you had folks in the room like that were, you know, looking to do good and do well in business. And, you know, and that's just one facet of it. You know, we did a bunch of other stuff along the way, too, that has really been interesting. But what's really, you know, like you said, back in 2002, you know, the telecom industry had just completely imploded. So it was, a trillion. What ended up being over a trillion in write-offs in the telecom carrier industry. A lot of folks think the web, you know, bubble popping is what tanked the economy. It really was the telecom bubble that popped that had a much bigger impact. And they both kind of coincided at the same time. Funny enough, they really didn't have anything to do with each other, but they both popped at the same time.
Right.
And so starting a green, you know, sort of telecom company in 2002, people thought we were absolutely, you know, bonkers. And to be doing either thing, you know, like what are you, Martians, you know, or something weird. So, but it really gave us a lot of wind in our sails, and it really helped us navigate, and it gave us a unique selling prop too. So, you know, that was sort of the first 10 years, you know, we'll call it. And then, you know, the next 10 years you settle in, and we've been, you know, really expanding our products, and we serve many, many great customers all across the country. You know, sort of, I'll lead it into maybe John at that point, where we've gone from
that there. That'd be good, because it's like you've gone through the first 10 years and made an impact, and you brought John in, John Jordan. You got to be a Bears fan, right, John? Are you?
I'm going to disappoint you here. I'm a lifelong Chicago resident, but I married a cheesehead, and
okay.
Ooh,
wow!
What a turn of events!
Oh, you better.
Wow.
John, you better move. You better move your address pretty quickly.
Well, we're going to lose all the Chicago listeners. We have all four of them.
Yeah.
You just picked up a couple of more in my house, so you're okay now.
Okay. Okay. Well, actually, I was in Wisconsin last week. Yeah. Yeah. And I was going to bring home some cheese heads for my wife, but I thought, no, that would not be something she would probably want to wear. So.
I live next door to probably one of the most diehard Bears fans there are, and I enjoy all 16 weeks of football season when we fly our Packers flag on the front of our house, and you can see, you can just see the anguish on his face, especially, you know, this season.
Absolutely. Just fly your flag, John, whatever it may be, my friend. Just fly your flag. So tell us where we are today with Better World.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about Better World and kind of give us an idea of, obviously, you're a partner of Star to Star. I want to know what you guys are all about. So tell us where John came in and where we are today.
I've been a Better World customer actually for the better part of almost 13 years in some way, shape, or form. Matt and I actually met a long time ago when I worked at a nonprofit, and they were Better World helped us out significantly, kind of making the change to a telecom for good, and helped us save money, but also, you know, better serve our organization. And we did that, and that organization is still part of the Better World family today, almost 15 years later. And I've, you know, kept in touch with the folks in the Better World family. And about 2.5 years ago, James Kenefick and myself had sat down, and I came over to Better World to run operations and help kind of modernize some things and make some changes. And, you know, in the last 24 months, you know, Matt, myself, and a few other folks have really, you know, matured the organization. We're doing a lot of more technical products now than we have in the past. So besides being a telecom carrier, we're also a full IT managed services organization. So, you know, IT MSP, Office 365, IT security, telecom. What we found is there's been a real need for some of our customers who need more than just, you know, voice and data help. They need the whole IT stack. And you know, we've got some great relationships with our customers. We really do take the saying that Better World family to heart. So, you know, we've kind of increased the offerings that we can provide to better help our current customers, but also to kind of help us grow. We've been focused for, you know, the last 15 years on really, you know, a certain type of customer. And we've seen that type of customer change over the last couple of years. We picked up some new customers and different verticals that we've never serviced before. And, you know, becoming a partner of Star to Star was one of the things that really helped us break into a couple of different areas as well.
Well, let me ask you this. So how did you come across the other partners? What kind of put a marketing program together, or how did you go about acquiring customers that necessarily were not in your fold at the current time?
One of the, I mean, Matt can tell you this probably better than I can, but really the one thing that helps us significantly is, you know, we pride ourselves on providing a different level of customer service. You know, we have folks who go significantly above and beyond what a normal vendor would provide. I mean, we don't consider ourselves a vendor at most of our folks. We're really a partner. So we get a lot of referrals. And we've got a couple of referrals outside of our nonprofit and B Corp family to some larger organizations in legal, in health and human services, and a whole bunch of verticals. And we've really been able to, you know, apply our way of working to them, and people generally tend to react well to that.
Okay.
And when you're talking to customers today, what are some of the challenges they have for, you know, they're coming to you with? What are some of the things that they are struggling with that they're looking for your expertise in?
Well, one of the big things that we offer for our customers and we pride ourselves on is and apologies in advance for the marketing lingo, but, you know, we offer our customers the power of one. So we're one vendor for phones, internet, SD-WAN, IT services, and it's one number to call for billing, one number to call for support. You're not calling 5, 10, 15 different people for things. With the relationships we have with our folks, some of them that are especially our small to mid-sized customers, I would say that it's probably fairly accurate that, you know, we probably know more about their technology than they do, but it makes it easy for them. You know, they can call us. We're, you know, nimble enough that we know a lot about our customers. They know us, and it's Matt, what's your favorite line? One throat to choke.
Yeah, we like that one.
We like one back to Pat.
Yeah, one throat to choke's a little old school. Maybe I probably should update that. But you know, that's basically the, you know, being able to just either send a quick email or a phone call and just say, "Hey, John,
something's broke, handle it.
Right.
And you can walk away and know that somebody's who's accountable, who you could, you know that, you know, is going to be doing this and working on it for you. And you can depend on that. That's a, you know, that has the breadth that we do. I mean, we've been at this so long. You know, our relationship with the underlying carriers, I mean, we've got every, you know, we can serve every building in the country. We can bring pipes in there. We can bring, you know, that underlying network, as well as all the products that fit on top of it through our partnerships. So, and be accountable to it. It's a different kind of thing when you're dealing, you know, with the wholesale arms of all these providers versus, you know, saying, oh, okay, we'll provide you unified communications, but you go get your own pipe. And, you know, when there's a problem and everybody's pointing their fingers, that's not ideal. So being able to say, hey, we got the whole thing. We got the whole enchilada. This is one number. That's when we're at our best, you know, when we have the whole package like that.
And our companies, you mentioned sort of the companies you work with, are they looking to outsource all of their IT needs, or do they come to you with, you know, look, I'm looking for an SD-WAN solution, and you guys sort of parlay that into more of a larger play? Or are you doing sort of outreach, looking at these companies and saying like, look, we could sort of take over your whole solution set? How does that conversation work with those IT directors or CIOs or whoever you're working with at the company?
Well, it's really all over the place, because it's, you know, folks sometimes have a special need at one point in time, and they've maybe got a lot of infrastructure, but it's under contract, or, you know, they're not ready to make that switch yet. So of course you do whatever you can to get in the door and start working with them and then build up that relationship. Sometimes you know, hey, we want to just move the whole thing to you, or it happens over time. So, you know, if you put all the customers on a spectrum, you know, they're most of them are in some kind of different place. And again, ideal is when we have we can control the whole thing so that we can provide that full value prop. But in the meantime, usually we're moving them along that spectrum in some shape or form. I don't know, John, is that?
Yeah, right? I think that makes sense. I mean, that makes sense to me.
Makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So
you know, one of the,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
One of the things, you know, our customers really appreciate is, we have a variety of folks, right? Like, you know, like every organization, we have folks who are, you know, several hundred plus employees to folks who are, you know, small nonprofit servicing a rural county with, you know, five employees. One of the things I think that really sets us apart is, you know, we service all of our accounts the same way. You know, we had a great account a couple of years ago who was with us for a long time, had some employee changes, and moved away. And when they left, they had a really pleasant experience with us as they left. 6 months into their new service, they were really, really unhappy, called us up and talked to one of our sales folks and asked if they could come back. And, you know, it's a small nonprofit in the Midwest. They had no clue where to start. We actually had an employee go spend 4 days on site in rural Michigan to help this 5-person nonprofit, the same as we would help, you know, our 500-person accounts. So I think that's really something that's let us shine with our customers and really helps us, you know, get those referrals that Matt and I have been talking about.
Yeah.
So I guess that, you know, that level of customer service certainly will separate you from the competition without a doubt. I mean, you know, sending someone off to the middle of a rural Michigan to help. I mean, that's awesome.
You know, speaking of that, let me spin off here. I want to find out, from a area of coverage, do you have customers throughout the U.S. or is it in the Midwest? Give me an idea of where your customers lie.
Well, I think we've served, you know, over the 17, 18 years, we've served customers in every state. I'm not sure we had anybody in Hawaii, but we had somebody in Alaska for a while. But definitely in all the lower 48. And you know, what we're focused on now is, you know, going to companies and nonprofits that are, you know, in the area of where we have offices, so that we can get to them within a, say, 5-hour drive. And that those customers usually have multiple locations and they're around the country. But, you know, instead of going after a customer in Montana per se, our focus is to, you know, hone in on certain regions, but invariably they have locations. And if somebody comes to us from, you know, Boise, you know, we're fine. We can take them, we can serve them, we can do well there, but it's not as much of a sales focus for us in remote areas.
Looking forward a little bit, are there any services, products on your horizon that you guys are thinking about adding to the portfolio that customers are starting to ask for, or maybe they haven't asked for yet, but something that you're excited to launch into your base? And, you know, what is it that you guys are sort of thinking about as the next evolution of Better World?
That's you, John.
Well, we've really spent probably the last 6 months doing some of that right now. You know, we have, you know, traditionally been voice and data for, you know, a long, long time. You know, we're obviously a star-to-star partner.
Yep.
And we're voice and data is going to always be, you know, the core product for us. But what we've done over the last 6 months is just add a lot of depth and breadth to our products and services. So from going from being a voice and data vendor to now we're a full IT managed services. So from, you know, IT help desk, mobile device management, backup and disaster recovery, IT security, SD-WAN. Heck, we have, you know, we can even do Office 365 and G Suite with customers who need it. Now, what we're seeing is that there's a need, especially with our smaller nonprofit accounts, and we want to be able to offer them the same thing we've done for voice and data, but for all of their IT.
Okay.
That's awesome. I mean, you guys have really embraced that model of sort of going all in, surrounding your customer with the tools to really provide them with one, as you said, one solution for them. So I think that's really the approach that we've seen a lot of our partners have talked about.
Exactly.
But I don't think they've got to that level yet. So it's good to see you guys are, you know, you guys have already made that progress down that road. John, I know you had a question.
No, John, you've been there for just a, you know, short period of time based on what the previous Matt was going through with us. So, but what do you predict in the next 5 years? What do you predict the next 5 years of some new things that will be coming to surface for customers where there's going to be a need there?
Products and services. You know, we're starting to see a lot of that currently, right? You know, the world we live in has changed significantly. You know, Matt and I think are prime examples of it. You know, we really live and work today in a mobile first world, you know, where a guy with a cell phone and an iPad is an employee and can be just as productive, heck, if not more productive than a person in the office. And, you know, and really what we're seeing is a lot of our customers kind of growing into that model, you know, in embracing the, you know, remote worker, the road warrior, the guy who works with an iPhone 24/7 doesn't even have a laptop anymore. Right. We're seeing a lot more of that.
And the voice, you know, what 10 years ago, you know, if your phones were down in your office, or your internet pipe was down, you know, which happened a lot more back then.
Yeah.
You know, it was like death, right? You know, it's like, oh my God, you know, but now it's not as big a deal because most people, they don't sit there at their desk and using their phone all day. And you know, if their internet connection goes down, they just, you know, they switch and, you know, whatever, you adapt, you know, go down to Starbucks and start
exactly,
working from there.
Yeah.
So it's, but with that comes all of those cybersecurity issues and most, you know, businesses in our target market, you know, small and medium businesses, you know, don't have adequate protection for those things. and are still kind of doing the clunky management. So that whole, you know, package of the voice, the data, the IT managed services and security, you know, that really becomes core. That now becomes the full, you know, being able to integrate that all together. We see more and more and more, that's just going to be the standard, you know, going in the next 5 years.
We're hearing that and seeing that as well. About every podcast, we talk about the security side.
It seems to come up. Yeah. It's one of those things where, you know, you've got, as a partner, you've got to have a good story there, right? You've got to understand, you know, if you don't have a good story,
if you don't know that if that's an issue right now, then
you've got to be able to talk to it and sort of put the customer at ease and make sure that they're, you know, happy with your security solution and you've got their best interest at heart. And, you know, I think, you know, as we've been talking, we've mentioned several times here, is like, you've got to convince the customer that it's something that they need to budget for and be prepared for, because it's going to happen. It's not an if, it's a when. And you know, it's just a matter of time for a lot of folks. So it's good to hear you guys are thinking about that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's part of, I'm assuming that's part of that, the message that you're talking to your partners about. That's why they're coming to you and going, you have to, sometimes, you know, they don't understand, you know, if they're especially a nonprofit, they're not looking at that. I'm not going to be hacked. Well, you know, it's just not a matter of probably, you know,
not in their top five concerns.
You know, it's good. You know, security wise, it probably will happen eventually to them. So, we're at a point now where we're going to have a little fun. So I have two questions. Okay.
Is this for Matt or for John? One for each.
This is one for each.
Okay.
But they're two separate questions. So, all right. Matt, I'll ask you first. Do you want question A or question B?
Well, I'll take B.
Okay. So, Matt, if you were a tree, what tree would you be and why?
I would be a palm tree so that I would be on a beach in the Caribbean.
That is a great answer.
Okay, great answer.
That's a great answer.
You didn't even hesitate. You're kind of into that. I get that.
He's ready to get out of Chicago.
Okay. So, John, you get the A question. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So where would you go anywhere in the world if you could go on a vacation that you haven't been to before? Where would that be?
That I haven't been to before?
That you have not been to. Anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world. I would go to France. I had an interesting experience recently. I took my kids out of the country for 10 days, and we met some folks from overseas, and my kids were kind of hit it off with them, and now we are we have it in our head that we're going to visit these folks. I've got two little boys who've got international pen pals, and
awesome.
I'm like, well, we've never been. They've never been. They keep asking. I'm like, we're going to make it happen someday.
Do you think the kids are going to enjoy the food there? Escargot and some of the...
Listen, you can get a steak and French fries in every restaurant in France.
Can you? You've been there. I don't know, David. You went to France?
I've been to France a few times. Okay. Everywhere you go, they got steak and they got fries.
Okay.
You can't go wrong.
Okay.
Great. 7 days. My kids will eat 7 days worth of fries.
Thanks, David. It's okay, John. It'd be fine.
Well, if they like, you know, you could also get a little, I don't know. You get a lot of cheese and a lot of cheese there.
A lot of cheese. And of course, you're a cheese head.
You're a cheese head.
So that works.
Yeah.
I worked in food manufacturing before at a cheese company too. So trust me, I've got no qualms about that.
The cheese is a little softer there in France. Not as hard as that cheddar up there in Wisconsin. Well, John, Matt, thank you guys so much for joining us today. We really appreciate you giving us this time. It's been fascinating to learn about Better World and what you guys do. I wish you nothing but great success, and have a very happy and healthy new year.
Happy holidays.
And happy holidays to you guys.
Thank you, guys.
Likewise. Thank you guys so much. You guys. Really appreciate it.
Okay.
See you later.
Bye.
That was awesome. Thanks.
Well, I really enjoyed that conversation with Matt and John.
Yeah,
two fascinating individuals. What an interesting company, though. You know, Better World, a telecom company that's sort of focused on the nonprofit sector, doing
the right thing,
and sort of donating and giving back.
Yeah,
you know, that's it's interesting because I don't know. Do you watch Shark Tank at all?
Yes, I do.
You hear a lot of these companies, and not that Better World was one of these because they've been around for a long time.
Right.
But a lot of these companies sort of have sprung up in the last 10, 15 years. I think sort of like Tom's was one of the first ones that, you know, gave a pair of shoes away every time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you had Warby Parker who donated the sunglasses, and you've got all sorts of folk, Bombas who gives out socks, you know. And then you watch Shark Tank, and I always watch it, and these companies that have sort of a socially good angle to them that resonates well, right?
Yes,
I think when you're marketing to millennials and they want to know the company is invested in what they're doing and in helping other people, they not just want to buy the clothes. They want to understand that you are making the planet a better place, or you're trying to leave a legacy, or you're trying to do the right thing, I think is important.
Correct.
And it sounds like Better World, which you said, I think was like...
Did that 15 years ago.
2002, what do you mean, like longer? I think 2001, 2002?
Yeah, 2002.
So, 16, 17 years ago.
Yeah.
Kind of
unheard of.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Still unheard of in the telecom world.
But still, yeah. Really unheard of in the telecom world, because it's like, how much money can I make?
Yeah.
And this is like a little give back. So, but... You know, from a perspective of being a little bit different, to go out and actually see a nonprofit organization and tell that story, great marketing.
Yeah, no.
I mean, really ahead of its time.
And it's interesting. It's an interesting
angle.
And
they did that. They actually set that up in the same building that they had the Declaration of Independence in Philadelphia, is what you said?
Unclear about that. I don't know. Okay. It's kind of like an Italian restaurant at night.
Cold one. It was cold.
Yeah.
It was cold.
A mafia was
a cold there. Night in
the
Philadelphia.
Irishman. If you watch The Irishman, it's in a lot of
not.
Philadelphia. Okay,
I
so
not.
You need to watch that. So I lost my train of thought now. No, what I was going to get at was, you know, they're sort of focused on the social good, but it's interesting that they've targeted nonprofit and those kinds
exactly.
of companies
right.
sort of align with their philosophy.
It makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think it's very cool.
Yeah.
You don't, it's one thing to sort of say you're doing that, and then it's another thing to be like, well, look at our list of customers, and look at the people that we help, and look at look what they do.
Yeah.
So you sort of use your customers to be a reference point, or to sort of give you that boost of like authenticity,
and making it a better world.
Oh.
I mean, I think that was just a little brilliant marketing there.
Yeah, absolutely. No, yeah. like you said, you mentioned they were a star-to-star partner. They've been with us for quite a while now.
A couple years, I believe.
Yeah, and they've been a great partner to us. I know Joel, who runs our sales team, knows those guys very well. And they've been with us for a bit. So it's been awesome to have those guys out there talking about star-to-star. So, what else? What else you got, John?
Their answers were great on their two questions.
Yeah, man, he was right on that palm tree.
Palm tree, yeah.
He was ready to go.
He was ready to go.
France, you want to go to France?
There was a dog in the background barking.
I heard that.
We should have.
We're
asked
not sure it was a dog. We didn't ask.
It was a dog.
I mean, it could have been another animal or a human. We shouldn't assume. Never assume.
I think it was a dog, David.
We can deduct that it was possibly a dog. Probably a dog.
It was a dog.
Could have been another animal.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not going to commit to saying it was a dog. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
My
we
goodness.
Didn't ask. We cannot assume.
Oh. What are we, lawyers? I didn't see what happened, but I heard. That's hearsay.
Have you ever been to France?
I have not been to France.
You should go.
Okay.
Seriously, I think that it's interesting. Like, people are like, oh, the French, they're not very... they've always been very polite there.
Well, you look French.
Except for when I almost got pickpocketed.
You're very French. You're a pickpocket? Really?
Yeah. We got off the train station in Paris. We were with our friends, and we had taken the... what's the train that goes underwater? No, that goes under the...
The
canal.
The Euro.
The one that goes under the channel. The channel. Oh, it's a train. It goes from London to Paris, and
Channel Tunnel.
And we had taken the train there, and we'd gotten off.
You're taking the train to the tunnel?
You take the train from London to Paris, you go underneath the water.
Oh, okay. I got you.
It's in the it's called the Channel because it's like the English Channel.
And you go under,
it's
okay.
a tunnel.
Okay. Okay.
And it's in the
okay.
channel and the tunnel
okay.
and the
okay.
Maybe Google it. So, we went out and we got to the train station in Paris and we were going from there to our hotel. And we got out, we were going to go get a cab, and I got surrounded by all these, by like these five, let's call them, teenagers.
Thugs.
I don't know, I would say teenagers.
Just teenagers.
Yeah. They were like talking in French, you know, like a million different, you know, like they were trying to, And next thing I knew, one of them put their hand in my pocket. I had my phone there and my wallet, kind of pushed it away, and they ran off. But I got my friends, my wife, and our two friends, a couple we were with. They didn't help me. Useless.
What'd they do? Just stand there?
They just stood there and watched. I was.
Well, thank goodness. Well, at least you heard them. They weren't mime. They weren't mime.
And my
buddy
who was with me. He was a big dude.
They weren't mime.
Mimes.
Thugs.
No, they weren't mimes.
Oh, okay. I thought you said they were. Did they? You heard them talking?
Yeah, they were speaking.
Okay, they weren't mimes.
French.
Then.
English?
They weren't mimes then.
They could have been preteens.
They weren't mimes then. They were talking.
They weren't mimes.
Okay, I thought you said they were mimes.
Are you convinced that there's a lot of mimes in France?
I am. I would think so.
I don't know if I've ever
you
saw
You ever
a
saw
mime.
A mime?
I don't know. Anyways, you should go to France.
Okay.
Go to Bordeaux.
Okay.
Normandy.
Okay.
Check out the tapestry. Go check out the World War II sites. Those are pretty impressive.
Pretty impressive.
Go to Omaha Beach.
Okay.
Yeah, it's cool.
Well, I'm going
to the French
Open. I'm going to think about that. I'm going to put it in my things I'm going to think about.
Where do you want to go on vacation? Always asking everyone else where they want to go. Where do you want to go?
You know, I would like to go to...
Tatooine.
Naboo?
These Star Wars references just going right over your head?
I'm not a Star Wars person, David.
Oh, I've been watching The Mandalorian, so, you know, it's like hard to not make these references.
I'm going to go to Monaco.
Monaco?
Yeah.
I got the Grand Prix. Do a little gambling.
Just see the...
There's a tennis tournament there?
Yeah. You can go to Monaco.
I've never been to Monaco. I bet you Les has been to Monaco. He shakes his head.
Les, you've been to Monaco?
Les has been all over the world.
How was it, Les?
What's your take on Monaco?
Incredibly expensive. Oh, I saw Prince Rainier.
You saw Prince Rainier, yeah. That's the guy from the car, with the car, Rainier?
Yeah.
Same guy?
That's his son, Philip.
Oh.
Oh, you knew him?
You know a lot about the Rainiers.
Did you?
Long story, but yes, I actually had my picture taken standing in front of a Bugatti by Prince Philip.
Is the Bugatti a Monaco? That's an Italian car.
No, they're French.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Enrico Bugatti was Italian, but
Enrico Bugatti was definitely not French.
He was in the
but the factory.
He's in the mafia in New York, wasn't he?
Exactly.
Okay. Hey, Bugatti.
Hey, watch your mouth.
All right, this podcast is taking a turn for the worst. All right, we'll see you next time. For Heads in the Cloud, I'm David Portnoy.
I'm John Roth.
And we'll talk to you later.